Receive Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. The soul is the most precious thing God's given you. And the soul needs to be what? Renewed to his ways. You know, God is a spirit and his ways are spiritually to be understood. You know, God has placed us in a natural world, but the natural world speaks of who he is. That's why Paul said in Romans, he said, there's no excuse for you not believing in a God, because the invisible things are clearly seen by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. You look at the sun, look at the stars, look at the animals, look at the way the world works, you can understand how heaven works. Remember, if you can't see it in the natural, it does not exist in the spiritual. So there's no excuse, is there? Huh? So God reveals things to us. That's why it's good to go outside instead of being on your iPad and looking around. It's difficult here in England, I understand, especially around this time of the year. But looking at nature will show you the way God works. Sowing and reaping, springtime and harvest, winter, spring, summer, fall. See? You know, when you're in winter, do you sow seed in your garden? No, you're wise enough to wait, right? Because the earth's got to get a bit soft and you've got to then start digging it up, etc., and you sow your seed. You know, you can't grow bananas in Alaska in winter. So don't try. Wait. You've got to wait for the season to change. You know, many, many men of God and women of God who are successful in ministry, and I've known a lot of them, but we all agree on one thing, that it's the time and place that makes the difference between success and failure. And you've got to discern the time and the place before you start sowing your seed and getting busy for God. Because ultimately, you'll just wear yourself out. And God doesn't want you to be worn out. He said, come unto me, you who are worn out. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You see, I sing under the category of easy listening. You know, there has to be a famine in the land before people start to get fed. You see, there has to be a famine. You know, in the story of Joseph, there were 7 years plenty. 7 years what? Famine. The people were hungry. See, the Bible says there's a famine coming in the land where people will be hungry for the word of God. But it's not so much the word of God, it's hearing the word of God. That's what they'll be hungry for. To hear the word of God. See, the word of God is all over the place, isn't it? In tapes and books. There's so much word. But how many are hearing it? You've got to say, God, help me to hear. And that's where we pray. Holy Spirit, open my eyes, open my ears, that I might hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Of course, we are the body here, the one church. Jesus Christ said there's one church. We're members of that one body. But see, people haven't been hearing that, have they? That's why they're all in their little denominational camps. But the fact is, there's only one church. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're members of that one church. I'm going to open my Bible now. I've got to put the passcode in first. And I'm going to talk to you about who you are for a moment. And Jesus speaking in John 3. And he told everybody, you know, they had to be born again. And then he was speaking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus didn't quite understand. And so Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, come on, Nicodemus, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, it's all spiritual there. The water is the word. It's all spiritual. The Spirit word. You've got to be born of the Spirit word and the Holy Spirit. Correct? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Listen, the wind blows where it wishes. This is from the ESV version. And you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. Listen to this part. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. This is who you are. People don't know where you're coming from or where you're going. Because you're like the wind. You're like the wind. Because the Spirit is the wind of the Spirit. See, you're an enigma to many, many people. In fact, a lot of you don't know where you're going. Don't worry about that. You know not what to pray for as you ought. It's the Spirit that prayeth for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. See, you like the wind, but you've got to hear the sound. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of his sons and daughters. That's why we have to get involved with these truths, the ways that God works, and it's his Spirit today that we have to be really focused on. You know, we have to focus, obviously, on other things, but for life in this earth now, with your human earthly bodies, it's about remembering the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not in the earth. Jesus is in the heavens. But he said, don't worry about it. I'm going to profit you anyway. I'm going to send you the Spirit. That Spirit is the Spirit that contains the Christ Spirit, the Father Spirit, and it's called the Holy Spirit. And he's working just as much now than he ever has been working. What he's doing on the throne, he's running the whole universe. But what he's doing in you through his Spirit is to bring you into the light of who you are in Christ and who he is in you. So you might be a knower of the truth, and you shall know the truth. And then the truth shall what? Make you free. You've got to know who you are in Christ. It's good when God reveals things to you, isn't it? So I can boldly stand up here and tell you I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of God. And I represent the king. And if I'm not saying things to you correctly or accurately, I expect to get a call from the head and get a dressing down. So I take all these things very seriously. He said, well, how do you know you're an ambassador? Well, Paul said he was, didn't he? But then one day I was on my couch reading my Bible. And I heard the voice of God say to me, I'm going to show you what you're all about. Now, wouldn't you like to hear that? I'm going to show you what you're all about. He said, you are an ambassador. And he said, it's in your name. Well, I mean, so I get up straight away. You know, you hear and you obey, correct? I get a piece of paper. I said, well, okay, my name. So I thought, well, what do they call me here? Doctor. At that time, they won't call me doctor. So I put Dr. Michael Anthony Bassett. And there was the word ambassador. So I said, oh, that's very nice. Thank you, Lord. I'm now going to represent you as an ambassador of the kingdom of God. To teach the ways of God as you have shown me, with fear and trembling. I do not come to you, like Paul said, in proud speech or in excellence of speech. He said, I come to you in fear and trembling, in humility, knowing that these things are very precious and I cannot add to it or subtract to what I hear or know. So, Ambassador Bassett, he's telling you God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. And he wants you to know how he thinks. But he has to make changes in your thought pattern. And this is the suffering. Paul said, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth with all long suffering for a pattern to those that henceforth shall come to him and know him and life eternal. What's the pattern for the church? Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. Now I want to take you back to another scripture. And this one is Habakkuk 2. I'm sure you know this one. Habakkuk 2. I usually have my Bible, but I've worn it out, unfortunately. It's falling apart, so it doesn't travel very well. Habakkuk 2. You heard this one, haven't you? And the Lord answered me. Write the vision. Make it plain on tables, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. This is talking about the end days. We're in them now. This is it. The vision is always Jesus Christ. Get that in mind. Jesus Christ. It's talking about Jesus Christ. This is the vision. Wait for it, because it's going to rise up in you one day. How do I know that? Because I've experienced it. When I first came to the Lord, this is about 1974, I came to the Lord. And I didn't know anything. I was not raised in a religious family at all. I went to a Catholic church where I was expelled, so that didn't help. So I had no religious thoughts in my mind at all. No thoughts about anything like that. But I came to the Lord. I won't tell you how, but I came to the Lord through television. I received Jesus Christ. I was 33 years of age. And weeks, month after that, I was asleep and I had a vision. This vision, I mean, I've never experienced anything like this. And if it ever happens again, I will be eternally thankful and grateful. But I saw the face of Jesus Christ. He came right up to me. I mean, as close as that. This incredible face with the hair all white. I mean, eyes unbelievable. I mean, and he spoke to me. He never opened his mouth, but he spoke. And he said these words, "I'm going to suffer upon you all of my truths." Me. You don't know my background, but I was not a very nice person. But I received Christ. I was a new creature. Old things passed away. I was clean. I hadn't been contaminated. I had a brand new life. And he came to me. See, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro in order to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. I was a perfect heart. Hadn't yet got contaminated by religion, by ways of men, but because I was a new creature. And he came and spoke to me. Well, I haven't stopped suffering since. I'm going to suffer upon you all of my truths. Paul said that. See, if your Lord suffered, you think you're not going to? You'll suffer. You'll suffer to get the truths that you're hearing. Because to get the new, you've got to let go of the old. And that's the suffering. We don't like to let go of what we're comfortable with. But God's going to keep pouring us out. Keep pouring us out. That's what he's going to do. More suffering. Because the suffering precedes the blessing. Or you're knowing the truth. And it's a lifetime of remembering these things that we need to remember and to forget the things that we need to forget. By the way, this is Remembrance Sunday. And we give thanks to all the heroes that have gone before us, who gave their lives. But I like to remember this foremost. But remember the Lord thy God, for it's he that gives you power to get wealth. And I'm talking about the true wealth, the true riches, which is the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of the Son, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:2. That's the true riches that God wants you to have and me to have. In this union, You are completely complete in Him. The answer to every problem is the Spirit that is in you, the Holy Spirit. He is the answer. So you have a problem, you give it to God. And then you wait for that problem to be swallowed up of good things. See, all things truly do work together for the good, you know, to those that love the Lord. Think about the worst thing you can think of. That'll work for your good ultimately, if you don't faint. See, we've got to train ourselves, have we not, to the words of God. Yeah. Consider it all joy, brethren, when you enter into any trials or tribulations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. The apostles were beaten up by the religious Jews of their day. And they left from being beaten up, joying, thanking God, I suffered for the name of the kingdom and Jesus Christ. See, we have to learn to put faith and action together. When things look really bad, throw a party. That's what it means. Consider all joy literally means throw a party. And you throw a party. I've done that many times with my wife. I remember we had one big, big challenge. I started two churches, one in Bath, one in Bristol. And I saw how the enemy got in and destroyed the whole thing. And we invested everything, all our money, everything. We went. I took my wife away from America. She became a missionary. And we saw how devastating it was. But you know what? We said, let's go throw a party. And we went to the park. We got a cake, got a bottle of champagne, took my little girl Angel, she was only two, and we put a blanket down and we started to give thanks and throw a party. Amen. Completely opposite what circumstances want you to do. You threw a party. And I remember little Angel going around, she was evangelizing at two, filled with the Holy Ghost, and she was talking to people in the park about the devil. Because I tried to tell them about Jesus, but she wanted to tell them about the devil. I'm sure she must have scared the socks off so many people in that. But we were having a party. And as soon as we had the party, things began to change. Try it for yourself. You've got to prove the word of God to be true in your own life. You prove it true. All things together. All things work together. You know who's working in you? God. For it's God that's working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's all good. It's good, acceptable, and perfect. You are going towards the good, the acceptable, and perfect on a road that has suffering attached to it. You'll suffer in relationships. You'll be betrayed. Close friends come against you. Family come against you. It's par for the course, folks. You'll suffer at work because of your stand in Christ. You'll suffer trying to wrestle with the scriptures. Jacob wrestled with the angel. But he got what he wanted. He got blessed. You're wrestling. Because these scriptures do not line up with your thinking. They truly don't. I've been to many churches in my few years, and the names of the churches interest me. Harvest Church is good. I had Victory Church. The Church of the Great Exclamation Mark. The Glory to God in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit Church. Most of the churches have a connotation of greatness and glory and overcoming. But you know what? I haven't found one church called the Church of His Patience. Haven't found one. I've been everywhere. Give me a church. I want to go and preach there. The Church of His Patience? He's called the God of Patience. That's His name. That means He wants you to have what He is. Patience. And let patience have her perfect. That you might be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. I got trapped last night watching a movie. It was called The Fast and the Furious. And that's why I said this is just like the church. They're shooting around, going all over the place. Formula One style. But the story that really gets my attention is the tortoise and the hare. Who won? The tortoise. The hare got worn out. You don't want to wear yourself out. Now, I know it sounds good, but is it in line with what God is saying to us? I hear him say, be still and know that I am God. I hear that. And here in Habakkuk, remember what we read? Write the vision. Make it plain on tables. So he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. See, that word run is interesting because those that wait upon the Lord shall rise up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. That lines up with that. You're going to wait upon God that the Christ, the vision, is revealed to you as being in you as your life, the only life you now live. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Live by the faith of another. That's what you're going to be living by. God wants you to live by his faith, not your faith. Your faith must focus on himself. The highest faith you'll ever gain in your Christian walk, far as I'm concerned, is waiting on God. Just being still. And then everyone's going to come around and say, what are you doing for God? I'm waiting on God. They don't like that. I've been waiting on God for 21 years. And I've told my family, this is the year of release. This is the year when everything will be restored. How do I know that? Because I've experienced it. Years ago, 1977, most probably, I've been married now to Denise for 40 years. That was 1975. And we wanted to get a dog. I wanted to get a dog, and I wanted to get a German Shepherd. I got myself a Shepherd and got him from a puppy. He was 2 years old now. And him and I would always go running together. I don't run now, I walk. I'd put him in the car, and we'd go down to the local big park. They had like a running track around it. And we started running, him and I. I experienced this. I heard the voice say to me, he said, I'm going to show you what it's like when I do a thing. And power went into my legs. And I just felt, oh, this is a new run. This is a new way of running. And I just kept running and running. And I realized I wasn't sweating. I wasn't breathing heavy. I was just running and running effortlessly. I said, where's the dog? And I looked. He was in the middle of the field on his haunches. And he was doing this. I outran a 2-year-old German Shepherd. Then I understood. That's how the prophet outran the chariot. There's no difference. He outran the chariot of horses. Because when the Spirit takes you, you have a power that you've never experienced. The promise to the church, it's one of the promises. The promise is that the Spirit will come into you and give you power. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But it must be by the Holy Ghost coming upon you. He's in you. But he's waiting for recognition. That's all. God is waiting for us to recognize that we cannot do this Christian thing or anything apart from him. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Is that truth? Well, let's embrace it, because we think we can do things with God. We've got to learn these lessons. These are the ways of God. Now, again, through the Bible, you can see the experiences of these men and women who are experiencing the things that we're talking about. My favorite is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, remember the story? Most powerful man in the world. Hugely, immensely rich. And he ran the empire at that time that ruled the world. And he's walking along the walls of his kingdom. And he said this, look what I have done by my mouth and my power and my wisdom. I even built the hanging gardens of Babylon. And the Bible says, and the heavens heard. Let's hang him in his gardens. The heavens do rule, folks. And this is what God wants the end time believers to know. And he was struck down and ate grass, I think, for 7 years, wasn't it? Ate grass. And his generals and all his mighty men stood and waited for him to come back to his senses. Well, that's a miracle. Usually if the holy, you know, the pastor gets sick for a while, they'll take over the church. 7 years they waited. His hair grew like bird's feathers. His nails were long like claws of an animal. And he ate grass. Then one day, at the appointed time, seven is a very good number that God uses, by the way. At the appointed time, at the right place, his mind came back to him. And he went, oh my God. Glory to the highest God. The God of Israel. And he began to preach like an apostle. He was a pagan. He was an apostle now telling everybody, the heavens do rule. There's a king over me. He's the king of all kings. Well, how did he learn that? Experienced suffering. He suffered to get that. To teach us that we must not forget that the heavens do rule. We must not forget, but remember the Lord thy God, for it's he that gives you power to get wealth. You must remember that. I tend to tell God that every day. It's one of my favorite things to tell him. I remember, of myself I can do nothing, but through Christ in me, all things are possible. That if we try to do it without the remembrance, without the acknowledgement, without the recognition, you will fall flat on your face, worn out for God. And that's not what God has in mind. So all these things that we go through, this is our testimonies. We help others. You don't have to go through what I've been through. I wouldn't want you to. And I'm sure my wife wouldn't want you to. But if you can catch, if you can hear what the Spirit is saying to you, you won't have to do the things I had to do to get to this place of knowing his ways in certain areas. I do not go anywhere to preach unless I first get a release. Because I don't want to go to all these places. I'd rather be still and worship God in spirit and in truth. Remember, when the music ends, worship begins. But he wants you to worship in spirit and in truth, to know his ways. So we learn to walk with God. Talk with God as we walk. Tell him how great he is. Isn't it wonderful, walking with God? Even that song, I love that song. I'll walk with God from this day on. His helping hand I'll lean upon. I'll pray to him each day to him, and he'll hear the words that I say. Isn't that a beautiful song? I mean, it's amazing. These are secular songs, folks. This was sung by Mario Lanza. The film The Student Prince. I'll walk with God. Oh, God, walking with God is the best thing in the world. That's why I like to walk. I walk with God. I talk with God. I tell him how great he is. I'm not telling him what I'm doing. What are you doing, Lord? What's your plan? What's your purpose? He has a purpose for you, for me, for this church. I've got to be still and know what it is. Otherwise, I just go on a tangent in an F1, Formula One, that is, at 160 miles an hour. And God says, hold on a second. You see that Austin 7 that's parked outside? That's you. Let's go for a drive. See, I had to learn these things. That God not only has overdrive fast, he also has reverse. And he also has neutral or park. And you see, we think the overdrive's smart. Now, hold on a second. If you've gone up a dead end, what gear do you really like best? Reverse. And you're going to take you all the way back to go. And then he says, all right, let's get into first gear now. And off we go again. We learn to walk before we run. We first crawl on our knees and beg God to show us the ways. His ways. How does he do it? Little by little. Here a little, there a little. Despise not small beginnings. For a small little acorn grows into a mighty oak tree. But because you are impatient, the plan is spoiled. Have to wait on God. I love to wait on God. It doesn't even pain me anymore. Just waiting on God. Those that wait upon God shall rise up with wings of eagles. They shall run. They shall not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. See, these are the lessons that we have to learn. Be still. Be patient. Patient is a fruit of the Spirit. God wants you to have that fruit of the Spirit. Well, how are you going to get that fruit of the Spirit? By learning what patience is. It's his name, the God of patience. And he'll never be hurried up by any of your prayers. You cannot hurry God. God will appear at the appointed time. And you'll hear him speak his word to you. And my sheep know his voice. So you've got to be patient. And again, people are going to be saying, what are you doing for God? What are you doing for God? And all, I say, well, I'm not doing anything for God at the moment. I'm waiting on God to speak what he wants to do through me. What he wants to do through me. This is the new world that God is taking us to. 1994. I can't see the time on that clock, so you'll have to let me know when it's 1 o'clock, right? Huh? 10 past. Oh my goodness gracious me. I've gone over my time. I'm going to stop right now, but I'm going to finish with this. 1994, I heard the voice speak to me. I fell on the ground. I was speaking at Victory Church at that time, the first service, and I heard the voice say to me, I'm releasing you to the new world. Amen. I got off. Oh, I don't know how long I was on the ground for. I sat down. My wife said, Denise said, what did God say to you? I said, I think we're going to America. Because the only new world I knew was America. And my wife is American. And I thought, what God's doing now is sending me back to America to do what he wants me to do. And I become the missionary. And Denise goes home. But that wasn't it. See, God always meets you on the level of your understanding. He knew I would make a trip to America. And I gave away the church. In fact, we had 3 churches, Bible school, Hampstead Bible school, gave it all away. Give them the keys, off I go. They're still trying to kill me, though. Can't please them, you know what I mean? If you're prospering in life, they won't like you. If you're broke in life, they won't like you. So you may as well choose to be prosperous, right? They're not going to like you. They won't like you. But you're not here to impress people anyway. You want God's favor. God's favor. And if he sees your heart is perfect, he will grant you that which you ask because it's in line with His will. It's as simple as that, folks. If it's His will, He gives it. If it's your will, you'll wait a long time. This is the new world, the new understanding. Remember, your world is between your ears, right? You got Paul's world, Michael's world, Wayne's got a world. It's between your ears. Yeah, and this world contains a consciousness, which are your thoughts. And if your thoughts are based upon getting things in life, and it's not based upon His will, which is you getting Him as your life, working through you, you're wasting your time. As a disciple, that is. To be my disciple, you have to forsake all and follow me. If you do not forsake all, He says, you cannot be my disciple. Forsake all what? Things? Not things. Thoughts. In here, in your head. The things that you're thinking. You've got to forsake all and follow Him. And let His thoughts, His words, become your reality. Lift your hand up to the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your mercies, Your grace. And I thank You, Lord, You've given us an appointed time even to preach this message. And I believe, Lord God, that what was needed was preached. My tongue became the tongue of a ready writer. And the inspiration of the Holy Ghost is upon the words. Bring to the people's memory the things that were stated, things they need to hear, that with hearing, more shall be given. With hearing, more is given. I thank You. I call everyone blessed here in Jesus' name because of who they represent. If you don't know, everyone put your hands down.